Tonight, we'll continue on with our study about Joab. And to see these things, how they pertain to Joab, turn over here to 2 Samuel chapter 15. Of course, this is a character study on the man Joab. And 2 Samuel chapter 15. And we took a look about this, to take a look at Joab. We've got to look at these other characters. We took a look at Absalom and how it was with him, the thing that happened with Tamar, the thing that Nathan had prophesied that would happen in the house of David is going about here. So much how things are just so interwoven and interconnected in the Word of God. Lives are tied together. I believe it says in Romans that no man liveth to himself nor dieth to himself. We're connected. We're connected one way or another to somebody. And so we saw how it was. We considered about what David should have done about Amnon. We see about the rebellion of Absalom and how he goes ahead and takes things into his own hands. He does not follow after what should have been done, it seems. And now we're at the point that he's 7 years out. 7 years out from hearing from his dad about this thing concerning Amnon and Tamar. And where we left it last time, there at the end of chapter 14, he lays it on the line in verse number 32. And Absalom answered Joab, "Behold, I sent unto thee, saying, Come hither, that I may send thee to the king, to say, Wherefore am I come from Geshur?" And you remember how he had to get Joab there. He had to set his barley field on fire. That was the only thing that got Joab's attention. And it did. And so he comes to him. He says, "Why have I been sent for? It had been good for me," there in the middle of verse 32, "it had been good for me to have been there still. Now therefore, let me see the king's face. If there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me." So he does kind of lay it on the line with David. And Joab came to the king and told him. And when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself to his face to the ground before the king. And the king kissed Absalom, saying, "I receive you. I'm glad you're here." But David doesn't work on his relationship with his son. And it's 7 years damaged. It's hurting. And so then in chapter 15, we see this poor man, that this man is to be pitied indeed. It's sad what is happening to him. But it came to pass in verse 15, 2 Samuel 15, it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Hired, no doubt. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, "Of what city art thou?" And he said, "Thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel." And Absalom said unto him, "See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee." He looked for these men from Israel. Notice that. Not of Judah, but of Israel. And he says, you know what? He'd grab a hold of them, and he'd say, "Where are you from?" And when they would say Israel, he said, "You know what? The king hadn't set up a guy to listen to you. Take up your business. Let's go on and see what he says." And Absalom said, moreover, "Oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come to me, and I would do him justice." Boy, I'd do you good. I'd do you right. You know, the king hasn't set a man to take care of Israel, and you know he's from Judah. You know that. I mean, that's he's kind of partial to him, and he said, "Oh, if I was set up as a judge, I'd do right by you." Verse 5. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, and knowing that he would be a prince, right? He is the king's son, and if one someone knew that it was he, they would come and bow down, or you know, maybe seek to kiss him or salute him or that, and reverence him. He put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. He made friends. He's working politics, isn't he? Because see, the thing is we know, and I believe that we can see at this point, Absalom's heart is not for the people. Absalom's heart is for himself. Himself and his and what he wants. And so he politics the people in this way. On this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. He would sit there, circumvent them, grab a hold of them, and plead this with them, and then send them on in. On this matter did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Tell you what, as you go through life, and you consider the people that you have to do with, make sure that by the Word of God and through prayer, you can interpret motive. You want to have true friends, don't you? You want to have true friends that you can count on in an evil day? None of us want fair weather friends, do we? No, fair weather friends are great when everything's great. When things get tough, they fly. And so he steals the hearts of the men of Israel in this way. Verse 7, and it came to pass after 40 years. Now, if you can tell me what that 40 years is, I'd like to know. Doesn't seem to be the reign of David. Is it the age of David? Is it from the time that he was anointed king, maybe? Interesting. One of those things, this is kind of one of those things that some point to in the Scripture and say, aha! An error. Well, we just don't understand what the 40 years is talking about. Is it Absalom? No. But after 40 years of something, that Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow. King, I need to go pay a vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. That's where I need to go and pay it. And thy servant vowed a vow while I abode at Geshur with granddaddy, remember that, in Syria, when he fled, saying, if the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. Well, that would sure pluck at David's heartstrings, wouldn't it? Yeah. My boy wants to serve the Lord. My boy wants to be faithful to the Lord. That's a good thing. He vowed a vow and said that if the Lord brings me back, then I'll go and pay this vow in Hebron. And so the king said unto him, verse 9, go in peace. So he arose. So he lets him out, lets him go from Jerusalem and with the king's blessing. And he went to Hebron. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet. You remember when Israel was brought to David? Remember how that was? Remember that? Do you remember that? Let's go back. Let's see if we can find that real quick. Just to remind you. We studied about a man here that Joab didn't like, right? Remember that? Remember that guy? Right at the beginning of his career, Abner. Remember Abner? And Abner was leader over the host and of Israel. And he had taken one of Saul's sons and set him up as king, and kind of as like a puppet, if you will, really, because he was running the show. And this man has a quarrel with Ish-bosheth. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 3. 2 Samuel chapter 3, and there's war between the house of Saul and the house of David, as it says there in verse number 1. David's waxing stronger, because that's where the blessing is. He's been anointed king and not another. And the house of Saul is waxing weaker and weaker. And unto David he had these sons that's born there. And verse number 6 came to pass, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. And so he has this quarrel with Ish-bosheth. And then he goes over to David. And in this chapter, if you remember, that he came and he speaks to Benjamin, verse number 19 of chapter 3. And Abner also spake in the ears of Benjamin. Abner went to speak in the ears of David in Hebron, all that seemed good to Israel. and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin. And so Abner came to David in Hebron, 20 men with him. David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said to David, I will arise and go and will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desireth. And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. And this man Abner, the general of the host of Israel, he's the one that is going to bring Israel there. But remember what Joab did? Joab got him and went ahead in this chapter here. I turned away from it. Get back there in chapter 3. Verse 27 of 2 Samuel chapter 3. When Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak unto him with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Ahasiel his brother. Abner had killed Joab's brother in battle. Joab was not satisfied with him not getting Abner for revenge. And so then in a time of peace, when Israel is being drawn to David, is coming to David, Joab cares nothing about anything but his own revenge. And he goes ahead and kills the man in a time of peace in cold blood. And so, and if you recall the way that David behaved before Israel, this could have set more war between Judah and Israel. But instead, the Lord blessed David with wisdom, and he mourned for Abner. And the people, in verse number 37 of chapter 3, said, "For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner, the son of Ner." We remember, as we go back over here into 2 Samuel chapter 15, there's going to be some folks that are going to remember that, aren't there? They're never going to forget it. They accept David, and they follow David. But Absalom, he's been thinking about how he's going to do for a long, long time, hadn't he? 7 years. 7 years, how he is going to get his ultimate revenge, how he is going to seek his place. And so he and back in 2 Samuel 15, verse number 10, "But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, where David would be the weakest, where a lie could be promoted the easiest. And he says, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And with Absalom went 200 men of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Lo, while he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom." So here Absalom, he's got released from David to leave Jerusalem. He goes over to here to Hebron to pay this supposed vow. He gets his dad's blessing to be able to go. His dad suspects nothing. And he sends out these spies to say, when you hear the word, when you hear the sound, when you hear this the sound of the trumpet, say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. He's going to take the kingdom away from his daddy. He despises his daddy. He hates him for what he didn't do. And how it is with embittered men. Absalom, he has a point in that what was done to his sister, but he didn't seek it well, did he? And David has a son, and he's suffered in his house. One son is dead, and yet the one that did kill him, he didn't deal with him well either, did he? Oh, may the Lord help us to understand we've got to communicate well with our children. We do. And I tell you what, I'm no example. I want to communicate with my kids. I've wanted to communicate with my kids. I've tried and sought to communicate with our kids, because if we don't communicate with them, then somebody will. Somebody will. And so this boy, this young man, maybe he's 40 years old at this point, an embittered an embittered man has teamed up with another man, Ahithophel. How many of you know, don't raise your hand, do you know who Ahithophel is? Do you know what the significance of this man Ahithophel is? He has been David's counselor. He has been David's counselor. Let me see if I can find this. Turn to chapter 16, verse 23. Look at the significance of Ahithophel here on the surface. But look who Absalom has joined himself with. Absalom is a bitter man. Absalom, even though his sister had been done wrong, even though Amnon, his half-brother, should have died for what he did, Absalom pursuing it in a wrong way, he should have taken the thing and at the very, very least given it to the Lord, shouldn't he? Yeah. What better petition can one make for someone to make something right than of the Lord? Amen? I mean, when we're done wrong, we may look for consolation in our friends and our family, but when we've been done right, when we've been done wrong, who better can we go to than the Lord? Amen? Who can really do something? The Lord has the power. Men can work on bodies and persuade by force. Men can even leverage with some things and persuade some by bribery or by blackmail. Even Absalom, to a point, could try to sway the hearts of the men, but he didn't tell them the truth, did he? Because the king would be everybody that came from Israel. But who can go and change a heart? The Lord. So who better to go to when we've been done wrong? But here in 2 Samuel chapter 16, look here at verse number 23, the last verse. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. When Ahithophel said what to do, it was always right and good. The tactic to pursue, it was the advice to follow. Most strategic thing possible. It was like inquiring and it being the oracle of the Word of God. He gave good advice. He was a very, very wise man in the things that a king would deal with. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. There's a thing that we'll get to here about this. We won't get to it today, but we will take a look at it. So Absalom, a bitter man, back in chapter 15, Absalom, verse number 12, and Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite. Why would he send for him? Well, his counsel's good, right? Why would Ahithophel bail out on his king? Right? In the listing of those that would be around the king and closest to the king, you generally have the general. In the case of David, his mighty men, right? So militarily, there you would have those listings. You know about them. You've read them. You would have the high priest that would be listed. You would have the prophet that would be listed. Those that would be closest to the king. And then you'd have the king's counselor. Why would the king's counselor go with the rebellion? Because Absalom, being a bitter man, knew how to pick and find out other bitter men. Let's see. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Take a look on over here. In verse number 34, I'm going to butcher these names here. Eliphet, the son of Ahasbi, the son of Maacathite, Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gilonite. Where was it that it said that Absalom sent to? Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite. And Ahithophel has a son, Eliam. Eliam. Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 11. Bitterness. Scripture says, talks to us in Hebrews, I believe it is, about there not being a root of bitterness found in us because many get defiled by bitterness. Here in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 1, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, and besieged Reba. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. You remember this? And it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of his king's house, of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Oh, what have we found? Ahithophel's granddaughter was taken by his king. Ahithophel's grandson by marriage was killed by the king. Ahithophel's granddaughter's husband, yeah, his grandson by marriage was put to death and killed by Joab. And he's been waiting for his time to do damage to the king. He's been biding his time. And he has festered and become bitter. And being so close to the working of God, yeah, David has faults. Yes, he does. David pursued after sin. Oh, and it's going to cost him so. It's already cost him a price, and it's going to cost him more. And if Ahithophel is there in the presence of a man yet that seeks the face of God in many things, he is there and was there when Nathan the prophet came. He's a wise man. He gives counsel like it comes from God. He heard what the prophet had to say. Because you had no pity, the sword's not going to leave your house. And Ahithophel says, Absalom is going to allow him to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. See, bitterness, birds of a feather do flock together, that's true. But they're not going to be, Absalom and Ahithophel, they're not going to be friends. But they're going to help one another to get done what they want done. Oh, it's pitiful, isn't it? And when they would even accomplish it, and we know by the account that it won't be accomplished, because the Lord takes care of David. But in the end, when they would see the death of David, and pursuing it in the way that they are, would they be satisfied? No. The bitterness will have eat them up. And so here, this is the reason Absalom knows Ahithophel will be a fine candidate for a counselor. And Ahithophel knows that Absalom is just the man he needs to get done what he wants done. And so the word comes to David, and And David is on the run here. And in let's finish in verse 12. Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor from his city, even from Giloh. And he offered sacrifice, while he offered sacrifices. The conspiracy was strong. The people were increased continually with Absalom. And there came a messenger to David saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom." And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, "Arise and get us and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword." David didn't want the battle there in Jerusalem. And he wanted to get out in a way where he could be able to defend himself and to fight. He felt very compromised there. Verse 15, "The king's servant said unto the king, 'Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint.' And the king went forth, and his household after him. And the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the peoples after him, and tarried in a place that was far off. And all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Cherethites, and all the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men which came from Gath passed on before the king." So David's on the run. You know what? David needs some friends, doesn't he? He is hurting. His own son has conspired against him. His own son seeks to take the kingdom from him. His own son seeks to put him to death, no doubt. David needs some friends. Verse 19, "Then said the king to Ittai, the Gittite, 'Wherefore goest thou also with us? Ittai, why are you going with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and you're also an exile. Go on back. Why are you going with me? Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us?'" Ittai, you just got here. Why are you going with me? Stay here with the king. Stay here with the king. You're in exile. You're on the run yourself. And it's just the other day that you got here to join yourself to me, to be here with me and be here for protection. Thou camest but yesterday. Should I this day make thee go up and down with us? I don't know where all I'm going to have to go. I don't know how long I'm going to have to run. I don't know what's going to happen even to me and my house. I just don't know. Should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may? Return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. Even if you want, go on home. Go home. And Ittai answered the king and said, "As the Lord liveth, this man has been persuaded of the Lord." You know, where did it say that this man came from? Verse 18, "And all his servants passed on beside him by day, the Cherethites and the Pelethites, all the Gittites, 600 men which came after him from Gath." Remember where Gath is? Remember where Gath is? Well, here's a notable fella from Gath. 1 Samuel chapter 17. First Samuel chapter 17, verse number 4. "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath." You remember him? "Of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." He was not short. The Philistines are from Gath. This man that is in exile, it seems, if he is not of the occupants of Israel, it seems that he is a Philistine that has said, "I want your way and I want your God." Who was it that the Philistines worshipped, the ark was stolen by him, right? Over there in the house of Dagon, is that right? Yeah, they put that ark in the house of Dagon. Next day, Dagon's fallen over. So they get Dagon, they prop him back up, and then they come back over there again the next day, and old Dagon's fallen over with his head and his hands broke off, right? This man, he is David's friend. Back in 2 Samuel 15:21, and Ittai answered the king and said, "As the Lord liveth and as my Lord the king liveth, you are my friend. And I follow our God. As the Lord liveth and as my Lord the king liveth, surely in what place my Lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be." And David said to Ittai, "Go and pass over." And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men, here's how committed the man was, and all his little ones that were with him. He's got his whole house on the line. But he says, "David, you're my friend. I'm staying with you. Ittai, you want an Ittai with you? Or do you want an Absalom with you? Or do you want an Ahithophel with you? I want a man that'll pursue the truth. Don't you? I want a man that'll pursue the Lord. I want a man that the truth and the way of the Lord is the only thing that counts. Why? Because it counts eternally." Oh, may the Lord help us to see it. Verse 23, "And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over, and the king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness." This had been a message to you that are not saved, but do you have one that in the day of judgment is going to stand up for you and say, "He or she is mine"? Do you have one that says, "I paid the debt. I paid the debt. They're mine. Come on and be with me"? Or when you stand there before the judgment, will there be nothing to say? Just you and your sin and nothing to say. Oh, may the Lord help you to see. May the Lord open your eyes. May the Lord give you ears to hear. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Repent. Believe. Trust in Him. That when He suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again, did He do it for you? Because you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Trust in Jesus Christ. Repent and believe the gospel.